And I'll be reading from the NLT. Many of you may have the NASB, but I'm reading from the NLT because I think it is a little bit more relevant to our hearts and spirits this morning. Psalm 77. Let's pray before we get into God's Word. Lord, we just ask for you to just speak to us this morning. God, we come here to give you our first fruits of our day. We want to give you our devotion. And Lord, we just ask that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding would be in our hearts, God, and guard our hearts, Lord. We thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The reason why I want to read from Psalm 77 is because I think it's very relevant. And so let's look at verse 1 from the NLT. I cry out to God. Yes, I shout. Oh, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long I prayed, with hands lifted toward heaven, but my soul was not comforted. I think of God, and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. You do not let me sleep. I am too distressed even to pray. I think of the good old days, long since ended, when my nights were filled with joyful songs. I search my soul and ponder the difference now. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never again be kind to me? Is his unfailing love gone forever? Has his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? And I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. But then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They're constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the Red Sea saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. The clouds poured down rain. The thunder rumbled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. Your thunder roared from the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your road led through the sea. Your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. You led your people along that road like a flock of sheep, with Moses and Aaron as their shepherds. And so this psalm is a psalm that I like to meditate on anytime I am going through a difficult time or through just a lot of stress, because I think the words of the psalmist is very relevant. I mean, it's, I think all of us have felt this and we feel this way, you know, where we are crying out to God and we feel like God has turned his hand upon us, that God is punishing us, that God is distant from us. And the great thing about Psalms, especially for EMP, is that it's something that we meditate on. We read over again. We think about these things. So I just want to go back and verse 1. I cry out to God. Yes, I shout. Has anyone ever been there? Oh, God, that you would listen to me. And that's been a prayer in my life. God, come on, listen to me. Listen to what I'm going through. I'm in deep trouble, and I search for you. And then here, all night long, I prayed with hands lifted towards heaven. In other words, I've done everything that I think you want me to do. I've come. I've worshipped you. I've given you the posture of worship. You know, I've come to EMP. I'm doing everything, but my soul is still not comforted. You ever do that? You ever come to EMP? You ever want to cry out to God, and you're doing your thing, and my soul is still not comforted. And so I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. When we're in desperate situations and we're overwhelmed and we long for his help. In verse 4, you know, maybe we're so distressed that we can't even sleep. Or we're so distressed that we come to EMP and we can't even pray. There's no words that come out of our mouths. If you remember Hannah, when she was barren and wanting a child, and she's praying and it looks like she's praying out loud and nothing's coming out and things like that. Too distressed even to pray. And so think of the good old days, and it's been a long time since the good old days were there. And there are times when our hearts were filled with songs, and then now in verse 6, the psalmist is comparing, look, I'm searching my soul now at the depths of desperation compared to the great glory days of when I first met Jesus and the glory days of when I really grew, and I'm comparing the differences. And I've concluded in verse 7, Lord, are you rejecting me forever? Isn't it interesting how when we're going through the most painful, difficult times, it's very natural to think, God, you're going to reject me forever. Like, this is never going to end. This pain, this sorrow, this tragedy, this difficulty is never going to end, God. And so the psalmist is understanding that. The psalmist is going through that. God, have you rejected me forever? Will you never be again be kind to me? Because honestly, it just seems like my life is getting worse and worse and worse. And will you never be kind to me? Verse 8, you know, you talk about God, that unfailing love. Where is it? It seems like it's gone and it's going to be gone forever. There is no hope for it to return. And you made promises to me, God. You promised that you knew the plans that you had for me. You had promises to bless my family, to bless me and to take care of me. But have your promises, and the NLT says, permanently failed. Because that's how he feels. He feels that your promises, God, are permanently failed. Like forever, like cannot change. It's never going to happen. You promised and you're not going to give that promises to me. Verse 9, has God forgotten to be gracious? Because that is who God is. God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. But God, have you forgotten to be gracious? Have you slammed the door on his compassion? And that's a direct sort of indictment upon God when he clearly says in his word, I'm trying to remember the reference, but he says, I am the Lord, who is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. And so he's coming directly against that. God, have you forgotten to be gracious? Have you slammed the door on your compassion? And the verse 10, he keeps going, this is my fate. And as I'm reading the psalm, I think for many of us, this could be our journal entry, you know, that we've written at some point of our lives. This is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. Then something changes and something happens in verse 11. So he's venting, he's saying all of these things, and these are real things. This is how he's really feeling. This, his circumstances of whatever he's going through is real, and this is how he's feeling. But something changes in verse 11. Something changes. And he says, but then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. I remember. Scripture is filled with this concept of remembering God. Elephants are known to have great memories. And I came across this story of a man who owned a circus elephant. And he did some research and he discovered that elephants can't jump. And so he thought he could make lots of money and swindle people. And he would take them along these circus shows. And he offered $1,000 for anyone who could make this elephant jump. And he did the research and they can't jump. So he came to a small city in Kansas and he gave the challenge. And there's this, after waiting for a little bit, there's this boy with glasses and freckles that came out of the crowd. And he said he would take the challenge. And so he pulled out a slingshot and he put a long nail in his slingshot. He went around to the back of the elephant and pulled a slingshot and shot the elephant in the butt. And the elephant jumped a couple feet. And so I guess the circus elephant owner didn't think of this avenue of making the elephant jump. And so he had to give the boy his money of $1,000, I believe it was. And so after the man nursed this elephant to come back to health, he did some more research. And he found out that elephants cannot nod their heads up and down and shake it side to side in succession. Okay, just go with me on this story, all right? So he found out that the elephant can't nod his head and shake it in that order, things like that. So he went back on the road and he said he'd give $1,000 to whoever can do that. And so he went back to the same town in Kansas. He gathered the crowd. He threw out the challenge, $1,000 for anyone who can make the elephant nod his head and shake it from side to side. After another long pause, this older boy, same boy, wearing glasses, filled with freckles, stepped out, approached, and he went to the elephant, and he goes, do you remember me? Elephant goes, do you want me to do what I did to you last time again? And the elephant shook his head from side to side, and the young boy earned earned $2,000 because he got the elephant to do that, because he remembered. The elephant remembered. That was the point, okay? So whether that story is real or not. I mean, that's the point is there is power in remembering. There's power in remembering what the Lord has done. Now, the Old Testament concept of remembering is not what we understand as remembering, right? When we say, hey, remember to take out the trash, or remember to pick up some milk, or remember to go to groceries and get some, you know, fruit or whatever. And so our idea of remembering, oh, okay, let's write it down. Let's write it down on a post-it note. Let's put it in our smartphones. Let's put it in our journals. And let's, so make sure I don't forget and make sure I remember. That's our Western idea of remembering. But the Old Testament idea of remembering is not that. The Old Testament idea of remembering is moving into action. It's about, it doesn't just mean recalling something to mind. It means to act decisively. Just like in the same way, the Old Testament idea of listening isn't just hearing, but listening means to hear and obey and to do. And so, for example, you know, when I asked my son, Elijah, listen to me. I want you to pick up your toys. I'm not asking him to just hear me. I'm asking him to listen, hear, and to do. And so when the Bible talks about remembering, it's not just about trying to recall it, you know, a past memory from before. Oh, yeah, I remember the good old days. No, the concept of remembering in the Old Testament is to remember and to act decisively. For example, when Hannah was praying for a child, the Bible says God remembered her. God remembered her prayers. It's not just like, oh, yeah, Hannah, I remember you asked that, you know, many years ago. That's great. No, God remembered her and decisively moved into action and gave her a son. And so when in verse 11 here of Psalm 77, but then I recall all you have done, O Lord, I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. There's this combination of recalling the past, but now moving into faith, moving into action, moving into deeds. It's not just recalling and having a nice memory. And so he goes remembering, and just as he is venting as much of his frustration, he is remembering, and he says, verse 12, they're constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. And as I meditate on that personally, I want to reach a point where no matter what's going on in my circumstance, that I can remember the faithfulness of God, that I can remember his great works, that I can remember how he's been faithful. I just came back from LA after doing some studies out east for my doctorate program, and I went back to the ministry that I used to serve, and when we first started that ministry, it was like 8 people in a circle holding hands, you know, and just praying and just doing an informal gathering. And now as I go back and I see the incredible growth, and I see God's faithfulness. Obviously, it had little to do with me. It's all about God's plan and his faithfulness. That when we left that place, my fear was like, oh God, how are you going to sustain these people? You know, their leader is gone, and I'm not sure how this is going to turn out. But as I go back, I can see God's faithfulness at work. And it was quite a moving experience just being there. And it was emotional for me. And I was just beginning to look back and remembering God's faithfulness, that God, you were faithful when I was in Wisconsin. God, you were faithful when I was in California. And God, you're going to be faithful here in Hong Kong. You are who you are. And I remember that. And so now that memory or that remembrance needs now to go into faith and to action, that God, no matter what my circumstances are before me, God, you are God, and I remember your mighty works and your wonderful deeds of long ago. So I want that, I want verse 12 to be a part of who I am, that they're constantly my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. And God has, and God is, and God will continue to demonstrate his awesome power. Verse 15, by your strong arm, you redeemed your people. He has throughout history. He has today, and he will redeem his people. He will redeem your tragedies. He will redeem your difficulties. He will redeem. He has done. He will do. He is doing, and he will do. By your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. And then he goes back to verse 16. The Red Sea saw you, O God. The waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. And what the psalmist is doing is he's beginning to proclaim the truth and just the power of God. And you know, you just remember the flood and just remember the salvation and remember the cross. And verse 17, the clouds poured down rain and thunder rumbled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning. And he continues all of this imagery. In 2 Chronicles, you don't have to turn there. There's a phrase where it says, "Now arise, O Lord, and in wrath, remember mercy." So in God's wrath, when there's all sin and judgment and justice that needs to be that needs to happen, the prayer of intercession is, God, in your wrath, in your justice, in your righteousness, remember mercy. And so the plea is to God, I know we are sinners and we deserve death and we deserve to be punished, but God, in your wrath, remember mercy. And it's not like, God, okay, just think about it and recall it, but God, remember it, move into action and give us mercy. And so for us, if I ask Janella to come, this is the meditation, and even as we prayed today, just go over this psalm and meditate upon it. Let it be the reflection of your heart. Maybe you're stuck in the first part where you're like, God, you've forsaken me forever. No, God promises, I will never leave you or forsake you. You just got to remember what he did on the cross. Remember, you know, the times where you feel like God has forgotten you or left you alone, that you seem so isolated from the help that God is able to offer. Remember. And let that memory not be just thoughts that you recall, but God, I will continue to put my trust in you. I'll continue to put my hope in you. I'll continue to persevere. I'll continue to seek your face. May you experience that sort of relationship that the psalmist had. The psalmist was very real. He wasn't denying the truth. He wasn't denying what was happening. He wasn't denying it at all. In fact, he was saying, God, and he's shaking his fist at God, God, have you forgotten me? Have you forsaken me? But I will remember. I will remember. Isn't it interesting how Jesus, before he left this earth, he gathered his disciples, he gave them the bread, and he gave them the cup. And he says, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. I want you to remember, remember. So as we pray this morning, let's remember his deeds. Maybe you're stuck in a difficult place right now. Maybe it's family, maybe it's jobs, maybe it's circumstances, whatever it might be. I want you to remember the Lord. So let's bow our heads. Second Chronicles 6, Solomon is saying this, saying, the Lord has kept the promises he made. Now, God, may your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Now arise, Lord God, and come to your resting place. Lord God, do not reject your anointed one. Remember the great love promised to David, my father, your servant. In wrath, remember mercy. So Lord, we remember you. We remember you, God. We remember the days when we were lost and alone. We remember the days when we were in darkness and you saved us. We remember the days in desperation that you pulled us out of that. We remember the days, God, when we felt like we couldn't go on. But Lord, we're here. We're still here. So God, we want to worship you. We want to remember you. Thank you, Lord, that you are greater than our situation, God, that you're greater than our desperation, God, that you're greater than the things that we lack. And so, Lord, we just want to remember you, God. It's so easy for us to forget that you are greater, that you are higher, that you are mightier, that you are all-powerful, that you are the lover of our soul. So God, I just pray that for us that we would experience that love today as we hear your word and hear your hearts. And God, we want to remember and to move into faith and to move into life, God. Let's begin to lift up our community and let's just pray for those who are ill and sick, and let's not forget them. Let's remember them. For we ought to praise God for the health that we have right now, but there are many who are struggling. So let's remember them and bring them to the Lord and ask the Lord to heal them and to be with them and extend grace for those who have cancer and going through chemo and transplant. So let's pray for them now. Pray for those who are suffering from cancer but are still need a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's pray for their salvation. Let's continue to pray for them. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray that they would experience the presence and the power of God through their healing. So let's lift them up right now. Pray for those who have other illnesses. Let's pray for those on the list, and also friends and family and those close to you that are also struggling with sickness and illness. So let's lift them up. Use this time to pray for those who are sick. Pray for those who are looking for jobs and employment, and ask the Lord to open doors for them, and for God to sustain them and give them grace during this challenging time. So let's lift them up in prayer. Pray for our mission focus for today and today. Let's pray for North Korea and South Korea and Japan and that area. Let's lift up the servants and workers there. Let's pray for protection, but that they would be able to be used by God to proclaim His name in those places. Let's ask the Lord to remove the darkness and that He would shine the light himself upon the people there. So let's lift up North Korea, South Korea, and Japan. Let's pray. Let's pray for our IP team, the Well, Cascade, Hospitality. Let's ask the Lord to bless them and to use them, and that God would use their skills. And let's ask the Lord to raise up new volunteers and new servants for those ministries. So let's pray for that. Lift up the Hong Kong Korean Church, and let's pray for Pastor Choi for unity and growth, that they may be a light in the Korean community here in Hong Kong. So let's continue to pray for them and lift them up. Let's pray for the house churches that are meeting, Soho and Harborside, and ask the Lord to truly bless that group, that they would come and experience unity and love, and that they would serve one another. That would be just a dynamic time today. So let's lift up Soho and Harborside today. Father, we thank you that you are not far from your people. God, we know that that everything is in your hands, and teach us to trust in you. God, we just lift up these prayer requests and these petitions and all things, God. We give you thanksgiving for them. Lord, we just want to bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hope you have a wonderful day, and just continue to pray and be in his presence and seek his face. And God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.